Sukhan Chandan, reaction to Mr. John McWhirter there.
Well, first of all, patriots are those who do not invite the authors of Sykes-Picot, the authors of partition of the land of Sham, the historic Syria, to come back and to bomb their country. We just very narrowly missed another imperialist war of aggression against Syria that was championed, lobbied for, and advocated by the Death Squad movement, misnamed the rebels, or the SNC, or the FSA, or whatever bunch of abbreviations you want to call these tools, fools, fakes, and snakes of empire. So really, patriots are those that protect their national independence and integrity by not advocating the former colonialists coming to destroy their country, as which was the case with the Libyan.
But who is destroying the country?
Excuse me, sir, if you allow me to speak, we can have a conversation.
Now, the thing about
terrorism is that, whereas our guest in Beirut says it's a noble cause, well, he perhaps is indirectly providing the justification for terrorism, because it's an absolute red line that must not be crossed for the interests of humanity as posited in the Global South, that we do not allow the historical enemies of the Global South, i.e. the colonialists or the neo-colonialists or the West, or Western democracy, if some would like, I don't agree with that particular term. We don't allow them to conduct regime change covertly and indirectly through their proxies. It's not a case of old colonialism where the colonists will only conduct their interest, strategic interest, through bombing campaigns. No, today we're talking about the 21st century colonialism, which conducts its strategic interest through non-white skin, through death squads, and through proxies to achieve regime change. Now, our guest in Beirut obviously wants to be a participant at the Geneva talks in advocacy for the SNC and their regional allies, and that's his business. But also, I would raise his vigilance. I would encourage him to be vigilant in defending his own country in which he currently resides, i.e. Lebanon, which is a direct victim after Syria of the regime change operation. It's very clear in the last 2 weeks that Lebanon is being targeted next after Syria for regime change.
It was a victim. Lebanon was a victim of the Syrian regime as well.
Well, it was also one of the main contributors to defending Lebanon through its main primary ally, Lebanese Hezbollah, in defending the Lebanese body politic and nation as well. So we have to be balanced about these things, you know?
Not at all. They were the one who set Lebanon on fire.
Okay, well, you know, it seems in your narrative, the state of Israel did not exist in the affairs of Lebanon, and the states of France, Britain, the United States never stepped a single foot or crushed a single daisy on the land of Lebanon. But that's not the case, and those who have a high school education about the history of Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, etc., know very well who the main culprits of devastation, division, and partition are.
Yeah, let's go back to Syria here, Jim McCarty.
Let's come back to the Syrian crisis. I think it's better.
We got a few minutes time left, unfortunately. Jim McCarty, this is what I'm confused about. Perhaps you can enlighten me on this. I've asked this before. I'm not getting much of an answer, but it's out there in the open if I have the information. And that's about how Saudi Arabia back in November took about 50 of these terrorist groups under all these different names and merged them and called them Jaish al-Islam and put them under the Islamic Front and said that they're going to bankroll these in the millions of dollars, if not more, up to 6 months, and they even have brought in some Pakistani trainers. Now, what's interesting is that the Islamic Front actually does not support the FSA, the Free Syrian Army. So so that by default, I would think, doesn't support neither the SNC. So what is the SNC doing at these talks, if this is actually accurate?
Basically, this is your question. Why certain parts of the Islamic resistance do not support the SLA while being financed by Saudi Arabia? Is that what you're trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is that if Saudi Arabia is supposed to be behind the SNC, it doesn't appear like they are if they have all these groups formed under the Islamic Front who has come out and said, we do not, they're fighting the FSA, and therefore they can't be, they're also against anybody dictating terms from outside of Syria in reference to the SNC.
Basically, the people who went to Geneva, first of all, are not all the people who belong to the National Congress. As you know, a number of them did not attend. So basically, you cannot say that that these people are representative of all the Syrian opposition. So certainly, you have people in the Syrian opposition who are not represented there. However, what is very interesting to note is that none of these factions have issued any statement against the position of the delegation in Geneva too. None of them said that whatever these people agree, we are against it. None of them said we don't care what they agree, we are going to do something else. No, there has not been one single negative statement from the other parties in the Syrian opposition who did not attend Geneva, precisely because the people who are in Geneva and precisely because the people who are not in Geneva are both sides, on both sides, are supported by the Saudi government. So that is why there was not any negative statement on the part of those people who did not attend, whether they are part of the National Congress or part of the Islamic Front or any other part. So in a way, these people went to Geneva, those who did go to Geneva went to see if they can find a solution. The people on the ground stayed on the ground in order precisely to be able to say, well, some of us went to Geneva, they did not get any result, we continue our fight. But if they do get a result, they're going to move on board.
Talk about results, Lucan Chandon, my final question. Are we going to see any results? Are we looking at a prolonged state of a war on Syria to just keep continuing for months or perhaps by some deductions even years to come?
I think this is going to be a protracted struggle and conflict, but things are shifting and changing. Over a year ago, the death squads were in strategic ascendancy, and now that's reversed. If we actually take a step back and see who has the most to gain out of the Geneva talks, it's actually not Syria and its allies, it's the death squads and or the terrorists, if you like, in Syria who have the most to gain in terms of posturing that they're up for negotiations. Again, it points to the actual sincere attempts at the Syrian government that they want a negotiated settlement, they want to move away from conflict, from this, because they have actually nothing to gain and they have every right to walk away from it and to continue, because really still what's happening, the way the death squad representatives and their Gulf and Western backers are acting at Geneva is still with one central agenda, that is regime change against the Global South country, and
all regions of the Global South,
be it South America, Africa and Asia, have absolute interest to defend Syria as a frontline state against the forward regime change policies of the West currently at the moment.
I wish we could continue this. I do apologize. We're fresh out of time. I'm sorry, Jad Margareta. That's it for this edition of The Debate, and we thank our guests, independent filmmaker and political activist there, Sukhan Shanar from London. And thank you very much, Jad Margareta, political commentator there, speaking to us from Beirut. Thanks for watching another edition of The Debate. For me, Gomez Tawai, and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.